Perfect.
Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live.
Live.
On the Fight Mixer Show.
Check. What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Happy Labor Day weekend. Welcome to the Fight Mixer. We are here, well, without further ado, the owner of BKFC, Mr. David Feldman. How you doing?
I'm doing well, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. Never met David I never liked, so it's a pleasure having you on the show, and great product. I mean, BKFC is knocking it out of the park. I mean, you guys just signed Paige VanZant. I mean, you guys are doing some crazy, crazy things. What's going on in the world of BKFC?
Yeah, man, it's just, it's, you know, we put a lot of hard work into this, a lot of years of things that, you know, people saying no, and we couldn't get this done, and just pushing and pushing and pushing, and here we are. I mean, you know, it's amazing to see where we are right now, and that we're competing among the tops in combat sports right now, and it's, you know, we're competing for the top free agents in combat sports. We're getting talked about like a lot of the other big organizations now, so, you know, it's like a dream come true.
All right, David, so tell me the truth. How much money did you offer Mike Tyson, really? Like, what was the negotiations with Mike Tyson?
The first one was $20 million. Then we went back to him with higher money. He could have made with pay-per-view. We estimated if we could do 1 million pay-per-view buys, right? If we did 1 million pay-per-view buys, he would have walked with between $60 and $70
million. Wow. Holy shit. Wow. And what made it fall through? Like, what went on with that?
In all honesty, and look, man, the guy's a living legend, one of the best that ever did it. I don't think he wants to really fight anymore. You know what I mean? That's why they're talking the boxing match, the exhibition type of stuff. I mean, he wants to get in there, but I don't know if he really wants to fight. And I think that's really what did it. And you know, he said, look, I'm a world heavyweight champion, one of the best ever, and I don't really want to tarnish my legacy by doing this. And, you know, look, I respect it. I mean, I humbly disagree with them, but I respect it. And it was a lot of money on the table, but, you know, we got a lot of headlines out of it and a lot of people were talking about it. So, you know, everything we do is strategic and it helped us out. So, you know, we were happy to even, I mean, imagine I remember the words from Jim Lampley, Mike Tyson has been knocked out. Like when Buster Douglas knocked him out, I'm saying it only because like a guy, an icon that I looked up to my whole entire boxing career, and I got to make him an offer to fight. It was amazing.
I was the same way. The first video game I ever played was Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and I remember 1990 when he got knocked out by Buster Douglas. Okay. And Mike Tyson was like a little guy, so I'm a little guy, so of course I looked up to Mike Tyson, and seeing him get knocked out by Buster Douglas, you know, that broke my little heart. I mean, seeing Mike Tyson forward, and man, but speaking about legacy, and you know, just to answer some misconceptions with BKFC rather. How were you able to get over those misconceptions? Because the last time we saw anything like this was in the UFC back in the 90s, and of course, IBC and in Vale Tudo in Brazil. How were you able to get over the misconceptions to start BKFC and get on streaming pay-per-view and all that good stuff?
Well, in all honesty, I don't think we're over yet. We're not quite over. We're still knocking down the perceptions, you know, left and right. But I mean, it was just a matter of sticking to your plan and knowing what you were going to do and how you were going to present it. And the professionalism was there. And we knew this was how it was going to pan out. I didn't know that the fans would take to this quite as quickly. I didn't know that the fights were going to be as great as they are. And we were going to have as few injuries as we do. And I think, you know, those kind of things, as we're not able to talk to commissions and talk to networks and things like that about what we think is going to happen, we're actually, you know, at the point now we can present to them, here's our injury reports. Here's exactly what's happening. Here's our social media views. Like we just were on World Star Hip Hop yesterday, 1.5 million views on one of our fights. I mean, it's amazing. So now we can show those numbers, not just talk about what we think they're going to be. It's actually what is happening. And I think that's what's really changing the perception of the negativity of the sport.
And bare knuckle boxing has been around since like the early 1900s. Like it was like Sabat, Bartitsu over in like France and Europe. And bare knuckle boxing has been around forever. I mean, they have a bare knuckle hall of fame with all these old school fighters. I mean, it's not as new as people think. How did you sell to athletic commissions to get this sanction and get events going on?
You know, it was just, I did my due diligence. I looked at the injuries from, you know, it was a long time ago, but I also did a lot of underground fights. So I knew what the injuries were really like, and there wasn't a lot of injuries. There was blood, there was cuts. You know, it was good stuff if you're a fight fan, and it can make you cringe a little bit if you weren't. And that was without putting all these rules and implications into place. And I just knew that it was going to happen. So I was confident in talking to the guy. So it wasn't like, you know, when you try to sell something that you're not really a fan of yourself. So it's hard to sell it, but I was a fan of this. I knew what it was. So it was easier for me to sell. I mean, it wasn't that easy. It took me 29 tries, 28 states said no to me. So it wasn't that easy, but I just knew it. I knew it that there was something there. So I said, look, let's just keep going and keep going and keep going.
When you sign new talent, do you have to get over that hurdle as well? Is it like another case where they say, well, I don't know if I want to sign to BKFC because, you know, it could tarnish my legacy? Is that something that comes up like when you sign Page and when you sign these big names? Is it always something that comes up and something, another hurdle and another argument you have to get over?
It's always something. I mean, you know, it is what it is right now, right? I mean, it really, truly is. It's always something different. There's always – but I love it because – when I'm getting negative comments, I'm doing something, right? Like they didn't care about it, if I wasn't doing anything, they wouldn't comment on it. They wouldn't say anything. They wouldn't talk about it. And it wouldn't really mean anything. So we're getting we're getting a lot of positives, but we get negatives, you know, about the Paige Van Zandt signing. She's going to ruin her pretty face. She's going to do this. She's going to do that. Look, the girl's been in wars. She's going to get cut probably. And that's probably going to be the extent of it. And she's a trooper. You kind of really got to take your hat off to her because she had similar offers in other major organizations and she wanted to test herself. So someone at that level, at that stature, you know, that wants to test himself for greatness, I have to respect the hell out of that.
And from a business aspect, because obviously as a CEO, I respect anybody who's a business owner, especially during the current economic climate. And now with sports, it seems like that audience, that revenue stream of people buying tickets is going to be out the window for a little bit. How were you able to sustain yourself as a business owner throughout these hard times? What did you have to do? Did you have to cut corners? Did you have to lay off some employees? What did you have to do from a business owner standpoint?
Now, you know, we have about 11 full-time people and like six part-time people. And then when the staff comes on, I mean, when the event comes on, obviously we have an event day staff, which goes into the almost 100 people. But those core people, they stayed with us. I mean, we made sure they were paid. What it really did for us, I mean, the first couple of weeks, I think it hit everybody in just a weird thing, like, you know, the whole world shut down. What's going on? So I think everybody was kind of took a few steps back and was like, what the hell's going on here? But once we got a grasp of that, we actually were able to just really put the team together again, reassemble the team and actually add some really great new team members. And, you know, it was a blessing in disguise for us. It gave us time to really refocus, really tweak some things that we weren't doing right and enhance some things that we were doing great and just really plan the future out. And I think it really helped us because we really know where we want to go now. Now, not just we want to be this or be that. Now we know how we're going to get there. And I think it really gave us a little bit of time to reflect on that and to rebuild. And, you know, it's a terrible time for the entire world. I mean, that we're still in this thing, you know, it's horrible, but we're refocused. We have goals and we know where we want to go. And the good thing about not just knowing where we want to go, we have that map. We know how we're going to get there now.
Absolutely. And from a production standpoint, I mean, you look at the first event to the last event and it's night and day. Like you guys are constantly evolving, constantly, you know, tweaking things. And it's so fan friendly, you know, watching an event and you feel like you're in there. And like when somebody gets hit, you know, like you hear it and you see the shot and it just, you know, blows your mind from a fan standpoint. What's the goal, like, as far as now you're in the rebuilding process, now you're building up the product, what's the goal moving forward? Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
I mean, it's really just keep pushing. You know, we have a lot of deals that keep coming to the table and it's going to be the right deal that's going to get us. We have a deal with the Zone on the table that we didn't sign yet. But it looks like we're gonna get that done. We just want to make sure that whatever move that we make is the right move. We're not rushing into moves right now. We're not just saying, oh wow, that's great, let's do this or let's do that. We're being very strategic, and I think really what we want to do is just build a lot of these younger fighters up. Now we have a new series coming out called Total Line Fight Series. First one debuts on September 26th in Tunica, Mississippi. That will live on the Bare Knuckle TV app. That's going to be really where we're going to build a lot of these younger guys up and create our own stars. But at the same time, while we were off on the pandemic, we had some very strategic meetings and with our investors and, you know, our whole entire team. And it was time. It was time to make some moves. And that's why we made a move with Paige. And we have two or three huge moves that we're making here in the next probably 3 to 4 weeks. That's going to, you know, probably garner the same type of media attention that the Paige signing did. And it's just going to, you know, just keep doing little by little by little. We don't have to sign every big name in the book, but strategically, the ones that are really going to do it for us. And, you know, I think Paige was a great signing because not only is she known in the fight world, but she's, you know, she's known mainstream with Dancing with the Stars, with Good Morning America, with things like that. So it was a great signing for us. And I think that these other signings are going to be just as big for us and very, very strategic. And where do I see ourselves in 5 years? I really, truly think that we're, you know, competing for, you know, when I say combat sports, we're not just talking MMA because we're a mix of both. So I think that we're competing for top three or four positions in all of combat sports in the next 5 years.
Awesome. And Debbie, we love you too. Julian Lane versus the Pitbull. Shout out to Justin Sims. He's under the weather and we hope you get better soon. But Julian Lane versus the Pitbull, what do you think about that matchup?
I think it's an exciting matchup. You know, Julian has been hounding me every week since this thing started. When am I fighting, boss? When am I fighting, boss? So he's been constantly training. The good thing about him for this one, he doesn't really have to cut much weight. He took this fight on short notice, but he has been training. I think it's a very, very exciting fight for at least, you know, two or three rounds. If it goes that long, it's really anybody's fight. And then if it goes a little longer, I just see the kind of conditioning that Tiago's doing. So I don't know if Julian is doing that same thing with not having the fight scheduled, but it's really a very, very intriguing fight right now. I think it's a better fight than what we had. And, you know, I'm excited for it. I'm really, really excited for this fight. I think it's going to be a barn burner.
One of our fans just asked, are you signing Brock Lesnar?
You know what? If you can get me his phone number, because as soon as that news came out, we said, let's find Brock Lesnar. We actually did some talks with some people that are very, very close to him. I think his number is a little unrealistic right now, but if he gets a little realistic, I think we can make something happen. We have a very intriguing match that we think would really, really work well. So, you know, we'll see what happens. He's not known for his stand-up game. He's not known for his striking. But right. The guy that we have that we're thinking of isn't really known for that either. So I think it would be intriguing, and a lot of fans would want to tune in for that. You know, we'll see what happens.
That would be a hard signing, though, because he was in the WWE. They were paying him, what, like $150 million plus merchandise and plus like a piece of the company or some shit like that? Like, they were paying him like how do you compete with companies like the WWE?
WWE is different, but I mean, with the UFC, he made $1 million plus some pay-per-view incentives and maybe a little bit more. I don't know. But for those kind of numbers, we can compete. Obviously, with the WWE was paying him, we can't compete at all. So if he wants to fight, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't even know. Is he still under contract? I'm not even sure if he's under contract. I know he's a free agent with the WWE, but I don't know if he owes the UFC anything or not. But, I mean, look, he's a great name, but he's not someone that really fits our style as much. So he's not someone that I'm super, super excited over. I mean, the name and the fanfare would be unbelievable. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, this is bare knuckle fighting, and we're known for putting on fast-paced, very entertaining, very, very – good stand-up brutal fight. So, you know, we're a little bit different than what he's used to.
And what I respect about you is you're actually a fan of this. Like, you grew up watching this. You were literally injected into the sport when you were from a young age. And you see, like, you know, there's a lot of money invested in mixed martial arts now and boxing. So everyone wants to be a boxing promoter, MMA promoter. They just want to cash in and get some money out of it, not really being a fan of it. So from that standpoint, from a fan standpoint, who would you want to sign, or is there like dream names that you would like to call, contact, get in touch with them, tell them to come aboard. Who are your dream names as a fan?
Well, I mean, you know, the one dream one we already made an offer to, Mike Tyson, you know, that would have been incredible. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of names out there that are signed with other organizations that would make a ton of sense for us. But, you know, do you go by who would put on the great fights or who would draw more? You know what I mean? It's a hard thing to say. But I will say that if I could pick one guy from the UFC, it would probably be Masvidal, because he has a great background. He has a street background. This is right up his alley, and you know, he would also bring the fanfare. So he would be someone I would definitely be interested in. And then on the boxing end of it, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that we've been talking to, and you know, we'll see what happens. There's some big names. I wish I could talk about them, but we're so close to contracts for some of these guys that I can't. But I think these guys are going to be like, he's fighting bare knuckle. Wow. Yeah.
Is it Fedor or Emelianenko by any chance? I know you can't say anything, but like, give me a wink if it is.
It's not Fedor. Fedor would be great for this. So, you know, we did talk to his brother, but then we found out all the legal troubles. We didn't bring him over. We have some guys from England that we're talking to right now. We have some guys really from everywhere in the world, in all the different organizations that are ending with their contracts. So, you know, look. We got a little rap where people said they're signing all these retired UFC fighters. They're borrowing fighters from this organization or that organization. Well, if you can show me where all the bare knuckle fighters live, I'll sign them. They don't live anywhere. So we got to build them, and that's what we're doing now. We're going to build our own. We're going to take them from other organizations, not take them, but when they're done with other organizations, you know, we're offering them something a little different. We're offering them 10 minutes, right? It's 10 minutes of fighting instead of 15 or 20 or 36 minutes of fighting. It's 10 minutes of fighting. It's fast paced. It's right now, there's 100,000 MMA fighters and 100,000 boxers in the world. There's 200-300 bare knuckle fighters. So where do you have a chance of standing out and becoming a superstar faster? You're going to have that with bare knuckle faster than you are with these other organizations. That's why these guys are coming to us. And that's why they really like fighting for us. Plus, I mean, we really do have that family-esque kind of feel here. Everybody really gets along with each other. We always, you know, we're always really pushing each other to be the best that we can be. And, you know, it's a great organization for that. And I think that's why a lot of these guys are really – the word gets around. It's a small industry, the fight industry. Word gets around. And the word about us is we treat everybody great, and that's getting around.
Awesome. And actually, Sheena Starr, who is a cult lady for you guys, she's actually a buddy of mine. So she spoke very, very highly of you. She's awesome.
We're working on a fight for her in September.
Is she going to fight that one girl? Like, they've been feuding on Facebook for a while. Is she going to fight that one girl?
I don't think that girl ever fought or really wants to fight. Or maybe she did fight. I think she's, look, the one thing about Sheena is I say, you want to fight? And she goes, where? When? And that's it. Not how much, not who. You know, she's awesome. She's awesome. But, you know, we're going to really build her into being our cut person, but we're going to get her a couple more fights, you know, and see what she can do. And we'll see the end of September. She's probably going to be fighting in Mississippi on our first Total Line Series show.
Awesome. But she did have one complaint. She said you need to get a Twitter handle because there's actually a fake Twitter of you that was created. And somebody actually made a post that Chuck Liddell was going to fight Tito Ortiz in bare knuckle. So
Twitter. Honestly, I just wasn't very active on it. You know, I was letting my guy take care of it, and he wasn't. So we're getting more active on that. But the thing was, it's, you know, it's really funny because I did an interview about a year ago, and the guy put in the interview, I forget who it was, but he put in the interview, he's like, one of David Feldman's 7 tweets ever. I just never got into Twitter, but yeah, you know what? I got messages from a lot of the top reporters around the world, and they were like, man, you made it. You have a fake Twitter now, so you made it. So it's pretty cool. I mean, at the same time, you know, we're trying to do what we can do to get that situation taken care of. But, you know, it's annoying and flattering at the same time.
you made it. Now you have fake Twitter accounts rolling around, and they're making fake matchups happen. I mean, you absolutely made it. But here's a question I have for you. So, like, what I respect most about you also is, even though growing up as a boxing fan, you decide not to go with the grain. You didn't create a boxing promotion. You didn't try to create an MMA promotion. You went completely against the grain, and now you're in bare knuckle fighting. Like, so what made you fall into it, or what made you come up with that idea? And why didn't you just stray towards what is a proven system, which is creating a boxing promotion or creating some boxing fights, hosting some boxing fights. What made you go against the grain?
Well, I did. I actually did promote some boxing matches. I promoted some mixed martial arts matches. I was a professional fighter myself, and then I got into promoting a little bit. And one of the fighters that I signed, his name was Bobby Gunn, and he was a an Irish traveler, and he was telling me how they would do these fights with their families, and they would bet money on them to solve family disputes, and they would do them in the field. So I started researching like the traveler bare knuckle fights and stuff, and I got really excited. I was like, man, this can be something. So back in 2001, we did a small show on an Indian reservation in Scottsdale, Arizona, Fort McDowell Casino. Packed the place, you couldn't get in there. And the thing why I'm here today is because we did almost 1 million people streaming it, but the site crashed and we weren't able to get paid from it. But we knew then that everybody wanted to see this thing. So that's why we kept rolling with it. And that's why we're here today, because we saw the early possible success that it could have been. And now we know that, you know, these guys just want to, this is something they want to see. This is something different. And people do want to see different things now.
What will you ever step back into the cage? Will you ever step in the ring and do a bare knuckle fighting yourself in your own promotion?
It's so funny because I started training a lot, and a couple of the guys at the office were like, just one more. And I'm like, I can't do one more. I mean, I would love to, but you know, I have to be professional about this. And plus, I probably couldn't come home because my wife would never let me do that ever. I said, one more. She's like, no more. No more. You can't even remember what you did yesterday because I'm so busy. Not, you know, like, so it's crazy.
Come on, David. Dana White tried fighting Tito Ortiz. Vince McMahon tried fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin. Right? Come on, David. You can fight your employees.
I'll tell you what. I'm not calling him out. But if Dana White ever wanted to knock him out, I'd be all for that. But, you know, what he did for this sport and for combat sports and for the UFC, it's nothing short of amazing. It's incredible. So, you know, he did his thing, but, you know, we're doing our thing too. The thing is, if something were to happen, you know, I get into it. I did actually, that was my daughter who got in the background. I actually did so on one of these bare knuckle fights, which we're going to post here any day, actually, one of these underground ones I did, I actually got called out by someone and did a bare knuckle fight, and I knocked the guy out with a body shot. I think I broke his ribs. So I do have that, and that's probably going to post here. My guys are begging me to post it, so I'll probably post that soon. But look, man, I just want to grow this company into the biggest monster it can be, man.
And it absolutely will be. So before we let you go, I'm going to ask one more question. So if you could fight anybody, and this could be anybody from any generation, it could be Bruce Lee if you feel it should be, but who would be your dream opponent if you could fight one more fight? Anybody from any generation?
That's a great question, man. You're talking, who would I want to fight legacy-wise, or who would I want to fight to get paid?
Sure. One of your dream opponents, somebody that you want to fight, like somebody that you want to get in the ring with. And bare knuckle.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I would like to, I'd like to fight like a Conor McGregor. That would have been, you know, tremendous, because he brings so much to the atmosphere, and he's made for this type of environment. He's made for bare knuckle, and, you know, he brings all the hoopla to it, you know, with it. So probably something like that. But, you know, look, again, I don't want to fight anybody anymore, but if I have to fight somebody, the good thing is I can fight. So Correct. If I, you know, if there's a problem, I'll take care of it. I think that's really why you asked that question. I think that's why I get along with the fighters so well, because I've been there, I've done that, and I'm, you know, I'm not really concerned about any of them. And I mean that respectfully. I'm not like, if something goes down, it goes down. No, it'll never go down. But if it goes down, it goes down. But I had to carry myself because I've been there. I dedicated myself. I trained my ass off. I fought for years. I was born in this. My father trained 7 world champions. I lived with 10 fighters at once all my life growing up. So I know what they went through. I think that's why I really get a good relationship with these guys, because I get what they're going for. And I also call bullshit on them really, really fast too.
Excellent. And you're now a promoter. You were a fighter. Now you're a promoter. And now you're going to be an important part in the evolution of fighting and mixed martial arts itself. So any last words? Where can we find you? When's the next event? When can we order your next pay-per-view?
Yeah, our next fight is 9/11. It's on 9/11. We're going to do a really big tribute to all the first responders. We're also with this organization called the Travis Mannion Foundation. It's a foundation that helps a lot of fallen soldiers' families. So we're teaming up with them. We're going to honor them, help raise them some money next Friday night. That is in Daytona Beach. That's BKFC 12. It's live on the Bare Knuckle TV app. Download it now on all the different platforms that you can download it. Go to the App Store, go to the Google Store. It's Bare Knuckle TV app. It's got all our library, all our shoulder programming, and every one of our live events. And the best thing about it is it's $3.99 a month. So you get all our pay-per-views, every one of our fights, all our libraries, everything that we've ever done for only $3.99 a month.
Absolutely. And we thank you so much for coming on the show, David. We can't wait to continue covering bare knuckle fighting. And of course, Matt's excited about seeing bare knuckle in action. So thank you so much, David, for coming to the show.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right. You're the man. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
CEO of Bare Knuckle FC. That's fucking awesome.
Yes, sir.
Brock Lesnar is going to end up there. I guarantee it. Do David's going to whip out that money and Brock Lesnar's going to come a flocking. I promise.
That's one that it'd be all right. I mean, I wouldn't not see it, but he's a wrestler, so it just seems like an odd. But I mean, if you matched him up with another wrestler and you know let them go at it now, you know that would be fun. But I guess it all depends on who he'd fight.
But he's also a savage, and he has a dick tattoo. And anybody that can get that and nobody can make fun of him for it, that's a tough motherfucker. So like, you see that dick tattoo? Would you say something about that? Shit, I wouldn't say anything about that dick tattoo.
Maybe.
You wouldn't.
Somebody could punch me in the face for $1 million.
I wouldn't fuck with Brock Lesnar, my friend. Oh, that's a sword. That's definitely a sword. That's not a cock on your chest. No way, Brock. Please. I heard he's now in negotiations with UFC and WWE right now. So Vince McMahon's desperately trying to sign him again, trying to go back in the UFC. I think he's just using UFC as leverage at this point. So I don't think Brock Lesnar. I think he's gonna stay in pro wrestling for the rest of his career. And plus, he pisses hot oil too. I mean, come on. When's the last time he passed a drug test?
True.
Seriously, that's why Mark Hunt was so fucking pissed off when he was on the show. It's because Brock Lesnar literally pissed gasoline, got flagged, and they didn't penalize him for it. You know, usually you take away the purse. Usually you give it to the other fighter.
I did see like three people got busted for drug tests recently. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was like four people. Four people got popped.
Yeah, but I think three of them are like weed, right? So
weed should not be banned whatsoever.
Exactly. I thought you could smoke in UFC.
You need a prescription for it. So if you don't have a prescription for it, you're
fucked. That makes all the difference.
Right. But you don't have a prescription for cocaine, but it's also considered out of competition drug, which is pretty fucking weird because cocaine does more to mess up your system and enhance your performance than weed ever will.
Exactly.
Which is kind of fucking weird. So yeah. A lot of contradictions.
The whole weed thing, like what as a performance enhancer, it makes no sense.
No, if I smoke weed, I'm not looking to fucking compete or roll with anybody. I'm looking to eat a bag of Fritos, looking right. to plop my ass on the couch and watch Netflix. So like, I'm not thinking shit about competing with anybody. I don't know why people would smoke before a fight, but you know, to each their own.
Maybe for nerves. I don't know.
I don't know, man, but like, I would consider cocaine to be more of a performance enhancement than weed. Weed just makes me want to go to sleep, to be honest with you.
Exactly.
Unbelievable. So we're about to have Mr. International, Shoni Carter. What's the status on him, my friend?
I just messaged him, and my phone service sucks here, so it didn't go through, so I redid it, and we'll see what happens.
Shoney's the best, man. Shoney's the best. When I texted him, he's like, just call me, man.
How's your show? You were you're putting together a documentary series, and I seen you sent me part of it, and I watched it. So how's the rest of it going?
Oh, going great. So it's gonna be a 4-part series. First episode is coming out next week. It's gonna have a live viewing party. So September 9th, big viewing party, 10 p.m. It's going to air on Facebook. It's always going to be on Roku, Apple TV, a Fire Stick. Watch it everywhere. And then part two will come out in October, part three in November, and then the final part will be in December, right before Christmas Eve. So, very excited to educate people in my own words, because my words are very special. My words are way different than any of these nerds on the internet and YouTube trying to explain to non-MMA fans about mixed martial arts. Nobody gives a shit if you don't fall in love with mixed martial arts, or you're not like a casual like Conor McGregor fan. Love you too. You're not a casual like a guy who only watches fights when Conor McGregor is fighting. Obviously, you're not gonna watch the history of mixed martial arts. So, came up with an idea to describe mixed martial arts in my own words for everybody. I don't want to talk over people's heads. I want to describe mixed martial arts on the level with people, not get technical with it. And you saw episode one. What'd you think?
It was good. You may not want to have your children in the room, though.
Oh, yeah. So one or two things. We're either going viral with it or I'm getting sued for it. So I definitely would not suggest your children being there, because I think my editor counted. The editor of the show counted. And I said fuck just about, I think it was like 51 times. So I would not recommend any children watching this program.
Yeah, 51 seems about right.
Yeah. So no children, none are allowed to watch this program. It's for mature audiences only. Only, I can't even speak tonight.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to be heading down to BKFC 12 in Daytona. So you guys can be looking for interviews from ringside from us from there. Me and Justin Sims will be doing interviews. So I wish you could come down, but I will be heading to New York City to hopefully hang out with you.
Can't wait, man.
On the 13th. So
can't wait. Can't wait for you to come down. You're going to have to keep up, though, man. You're going to have to keep up.
I'll jump on the old private jet and head on down there.
I'm a big partier, my friend, so you're going to have to keep up, brother.
What's that?
I'm a big partier, my friend, so when you come in my neck of woods, when you're the visiting team, you're going to have to keep up.
We'll see. We'll see how big of a party you are.
No, we'll see about that, Stevie Wonder. I guarantee Matt is passed out, face first, face down, by 10 p.m. every single night. Guaranteed.
So you drink White Claw. So,
I drink White Claw to sober up, my friend. Listen, White Claw is my chill. I want to talk to awesome guests type drink. Okay, don't you make fun of my taste in drinks, my friend.
Is that like when you run and that's kind of your slowdown?
Fuck you, man. Holy shit, man! But yesterday's show too. So like yesterday's show was absolutely awesome. We have a new show. The Fight Mixer has a new show featuring the ladies of Fight Mixer. And you had a great guest. He fought for LFA. He's coming off a big win. And he knocked out of the park. Just saying. He's probably the best host on this program. By far.
Who?
I just had a brain fart. Allie and I just had a brain fart.
Oh, Karina.
Karina and Allie.
Yep.
Two of the best hosts. I mean, I had a ball when I was on their program. It was awesome.
Karina was going to be on tonight, but her training went a little extra long, or she had to cover somebody. So,
great show, guys. If you haven't tuned into Wednesday's program, definitely do, because it's definitely better than my shit. So definitely tune in on Wednesday. You know, they're gonna knock it out of the park, my friend. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and next week we got Jessica Borga on their show.
Wow.
And I also just signed up.
Who did you sign up?
Bruce Leroy for.
What? Are you fucking kidding me, son?
You know the.
You got Bruce Leroy? Bruce, really?
Yes.
No fucking way.
Bruce Leroy.
You got Bruce Leroy for that show?
For our show.
Oh, for our show?
Yeah.
Oh, money, baby. Awesome.
Yeah.
So Bruce Leroy was on The Ultimate Fighter when George St. Pierre was coaching against Josh Koscheck. He calls himself Bruce Leroy because it's after a movie, a martial art movie called The Last Dragon, and the main character was named Bruce Leroy. So his whole gimmick is like that. You know, he wears the Bruce Lee stuff, and he's an awesome guy. Awesome dude, I hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's Alex. I'm trying to think of his last name.
Starts with a C.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel bad now. I can't think of it. He just won his last fight on, was it this weekend or last weekend before?
He's a great fighter. He's one of those underrated badasses.
I enjoyed watching him walk out, and he looks like he's just having a real good time. So.
Because he is. I mean, fighting is second nature to him. He's a bad motherfucker.
He's got like a devilish smile that, like, as he's walking out, I'm like, I got to get this guy on the show. And so
the best fighters are the guys that walk out and they're happier than a pig in shit to be there. They look like they're opening up a present on Christmas morning. Like, those are the best fighters.
Anybody that has fun doing what they're doing, you know, that's gold to me.
You definitely got to pick his brain. Definitely. I can't wait. Can't wait to have him on the show and talk to him. And Gabe, of course, couldn't make it tonight. We miss my buddy Gabe, and I hope he comes back soon. He'll probably be back on next week, right?
As far as I know, yes. So.
Family commitments. He's a family guy. He's not only a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, not only a UFC veteran, not only one of the baddest motherfuckers on planet Earth, but he's also a father. So, you know, Gabe, if you're watching, love you, brother. So he'll be back on the show next week. Can't wait. As we are waiting, Mr. International, Shoni Carter.
Yep, very patiently waiting.
Shoni's on his own time, baby.
He's got to make his entrance. So
certified pimp, baby. You know, we can just shoot the shit for, you know, the next 20 minutes. He can come on like the last minute, and we'll just say what's up. And talking on the phone was one of the best experiences ever. So he doesn't do texting. He wants you to talk to him on the phone and call him. And he is the funniest guy ever. So, like, talking on the phone, I was laughing my balls off. Like, he is a legend of the sport. He actually has a win over Matt Serra with a spinning back fist. You know, he fought all over the place. He fought all over the world. He is one of the most entertaining cats ever. He was actually on The Ultimate Fighter with George St. Pierre. He was trying to teach George St. Pierre some swagger. Do you ever see that clip? Did you ever watch The Ultimate Fighter with him and George St. Pierre?
A little bit. I watched a little bit of it. I need to figure out where I can watch all these episodes because I didn't watch a lot of it, and I think it might be something I need to watch. But are they all on the UFC Fight Pass, or do you know?
Yeah, they're all on UFC Fight Pass, so you can watch it.
I might get that for a month.
Yeah, definitely get it for a month. Experience the glory that is. But start off with season one.
Are they all on demand, or is that like, or is it like you have to catch it?
No, my man, it's all on demand.
Yeah, I'll probably.
You gotta start off with season one, and for everybody that's watching at home, if you want to get into mixed martial arts, watch The Ultimate Fighter season one all the way up to the last season, because you're gonna see the evolution of mixed martial arts and how good these fighters have gotten throughout the years. You know,
how did you say Shoni beat Matt?
By spinning back fist.
Spinning back kick.
Fist.
Okay, I thought that's what I thought. I was like, I don't remember it being a kick at all. I thought it was a fist.
Nope, spinning back fist, my friend.
So have you binged the latest season of Cobra Kai?
No, I have not yet. But I've been watching a couple episodes, and it's fucking good. I mean, yeah. It's very entertaining.
I'm a little ashamed to say I actually really liked it. So
why are you ashamed to admit that?
I don't know. It was a classic movie, but it was kind of cheesy.
Bro, you're older than me. You grew up with like the Karate Kid and Karate Kid Part 2 and Part 3 with stuff.
Much older than you.
Yeah, but like still, like that's your movie, like Karate Kid, Karate Kid Part 2. Like, I like the fact that Danny LaRusso, I can't talk tonight. Holy shit, I'm really off my game. Guys, very sorry about that. Really off my game. I like the fact that Danny is now a bad guy. He's now a piece of shit, because that was like the biggest like urban myth, that Danny was the bad guy. And I always believed that too. I was rooting for Cobra Kai when I was a little kid. I'm like, oh, Danny's a pussy. Fuck Danny. Like, I was rooting for Cobra Kai when I was watching Karate Kid. I want Danny to get. I mean, he was like a little twerp, like a little bitch, you know? This is Bondi. Hey,
I thought the way they redid it was awesome because it was they brought everybody back. Not everybody, but they're slowly bringing everybody back. Seems like everybody's coming back. And then they kind of spread it out throughout the series. It wasn't like they just dropped everybody in and, you know, it's like all of a sudden, boom, this guy's back, this guy's back. And then you're like, but I just thought it was really well done. So, like,
How about that little shit that says, like, put him in a body bag? How about that little fucker? Did he come back? You remember that from the Cry Kid? So,
without the UFC event, the exact scene to it. I don't want to spoil things too.
Oh, come on, spoil it, bitch.
No spoilers on this show.
Come on, man, what the fuck?
I didn't even know it was on YouTube originally. Did you know that?
I didn't know it was on YouTube either. It was actually on Netflix, and that's when I started watching it.
Yeah, me too. I was like, YouTube did a terrible job of marketing that one. So
no way. They did an absolute fucking terrible job. But like, so throughout UFC events.
That everybody has and watches, you didn't advertise it any better than that?
Right. So for anybody that hasn't watched or anyone that has never been to a UFC event, if someone screams, put him in a body bag, that's a reference to Karate Kid because there's one scene where Danny's getting his ass kicked. And there's one like annoying kid in the back of the coach who's like, put him in a fucking body bag. So was that in the tournament? What's up?
Was that in the tournament?
Yeah, it was actually in the tournament, yeah.
I don't remember that scene.
So it's at the end scene. So it's during the end fight where he's like, sweep the leg, do it. You know, like that end scene, yeah. And then the little kid's like, I'm in a fucking body bag. So if you go to a UFC live event and you hear that, it's like an inside joke because it's a nod to the Karate Kid.
Smash his dick.
Kick him in the dick. Yo, I love those kids. You know what's very popular, and UFC corrected that error in judgment where the entrances were so like narrow between the crowds that crowds would actually reach in and steal their hat. So that was like a big thing, and they actually made a competition of who can steal the most fighters' hats. So that was another thing that I love going to a UFC live event that they would fucking do is steal the fighters' hats.
Right. Well.
There's videos on YouTube. It's the best.
Not sure what happened to Shoney, but I don't want to carry this on forever. So Shoney, if Shoney doesn't show up here in the next couple minutes, we'll just wrap the show up and he can come on anytime.
Unbelievable. Well, it's Mr. International. I mean, he can come on anytime
he wants. You know, when a player has a passport, you know, they can. He's probably out traveling. So
yeah. Yeah, certified pimp, baby. So I don't hate, you know?
Dude, I definitely would like to go party with him. So he's definitely welcome back on the show when he gets a chance.
That man has wins in the win column. He has championships. He has more notches on his belt than the entire Gap clothing line. I mean, that man is a serious motherfucker. I mean, that's a bad motherfucker right there. Very sad I won't be able to get to speak to him tonight. But it happens, you know. It is what it is.
Yeah, we had Christine. She wasn't able to go, but she, you know, she's training for the bare knuckle fight September 11th. So,
yeah, Christine is a bad lady. Yeah, Christine is a bad lady. She's all about her training. She's all about her work.
She's focused. I said I contacted her after the show and I was like, just focus. I know this was a tough time for you to come on. So she said she'll come back on after the fight.
Matt, she's a serious fucking competitor, my friend. You would be very lucky if you got her on the show. Just saying.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get her. She said she wants to come back on. She's just really focused on what she's doing. She's, you know, dead focused. That's all I can say.
And look out for the event page for the Miseducation of MMA, my new show, 4-part series. You guys are going to learn all about mixed martial arts and all about dad jokes. Starting September 9th at 10 p.m. It'll air on Facebook until like maybe like 12 a.m. I don't know when Matt wants to take it off or whatnot, but it's also going to be on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire Stick. It's going to be all over the place. It's going to be hilarious, and you're going to have a good time learning about mixed martial arts. I simplified things for everybody. I made it a little bit more easier to digest for people because MMA, the history of MMA is fucking boring. That's the spoiler. The history of MMA, super boring. But I kind of gave you a pathway to follow and kind of like a funny pathway at that. And you guys are going to have a good time. And, you know, our editors were really good, our sound engineers. We have great music on there, great musical, great rappers on there. And, you know, everyone, we worked as a team. We got the show put together. And I think you guys are going to have a great time watching it. So tune in September 9th at 10 p.m. right after the plate mixer.
Yep. And just make sure you download our apps. We're on Roku, Fire Stick, and what's the other one? Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV. So if you got any of those, just download us. You can watch all the podcasts. And we're on every major podcast platform. So if you're bored at work, just download a podcast and enjoy.
Yeah. And listen to the sweet sounds of David Potter and Mr. Matt, Mr. Gabe, and Mr. Justin. I'll give Shoney about 2 more minutes. Let's just see where he's at.
Okay.
2 more minutes of bullshitting? Why not? You know, we have some dead air. We can talk a little bit. So what do you want to talk about? How about politics? I know you love politics. You want to talk about politics?
I love politics, but I also don't want to kill my show. Right. No, but you know, there's enough divide in the world that you don't need it on this show. That's all I'm saying. You know, MMA should be a place to get away from politics, not
very true. Very like, good point.
There's so many venues you can go to go and be divided among, you know, even the fans can go in and get divided because of politics in different venues, whether it's basketball or baseball. Let's let MMA and fighting be the only division we have is which opponent do you like? You know, leave politics out of it.
But speaking of which, my buddy just messaged me. He's like, bro, what are you talking about? They're doing Brock Lesnar versus Jon Jones. I don't know about that.
Well, I've heard about that. They said Dana said he's up for it. You know, if the fans want it, he'll do it. I'd like to see Jon Jones punish Brock. I mean, because it'll happen.
Brock is going to do that fucking power double. He's going to lay on top of Jon Jones like my prom date, and he's literally going to just hammer away at him for 3 reps.
I think Brock is broken.
I don't think Brock is broken, my friend.
I think
you highly underestimate the fucking beast. You see those you see the titties on that guy? Holy shit. That guy is still a fucking animal. And listen,
big dude. Jon Jones is a machine and just
Jon Jones has slowed down. He has slowed down. You know, he's fought through wars since he was like, what, 20, 21, 20, around that age. I met Jon Jones. I love Jon Jones. He's a great guy. We had a great 40-minute conversation. I love Jon Jones. He used to train with Team Bomb Squad. He used to wrestle in New York. I used to wrestle in New Jersey. Him and I had great conversation. He's a great guy. I love Jon Jones. But the fact is, he's fought through wars. He's also beating up his body from partying. And I know because I beaten up my body from partying. So, I know where Jon Jones is at right now. Not where he's at. He's definitely above me.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. So, I know where he's at because we're the same age. Yeah, and except he has done it on a higher scale than I ever will or ever will do it.
Yeah, so probably partying and fighting.
Well, partying, I party better than anybody. So, like, you know, get on my level, guys. Jon Jones including. But, like,
how many times have you been to jail for partying?
Wait, what?
So, how many times have you been to jail for partying? Okay. Zero. So, you haven't partied like Jon Jones.
That's a very good point. Well, I party like Jon Jones, but I get caught like Jon Jones. You know what I'm saying?
If you wake up in the pokey and don't know how you got there, that's partying.
That's a very good point, my friend. But, you know, I think Jon Jones has showed, and forgive me, guys, I'm talking like shit tonight. I do apologize about that. I've been working my ass off throughout this pandemic, and I'm exhausted. So I'm sorry if I'm talking like shit, and I've also been working on a television show, so forgive me.
Too much pause will do that to you.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jon Jones, you saw in his last fight, he slowed down considerably. So, I think, personally speaking, that Brock Lesnar is going to avoid the pocket, stay out of the pocket, And then right when Jon Jones reaches ever so slightly to engage, Brock Lesnar's going to do a power double and fucking throw Jon Jones right on his ass. I think that's how it's going to end. That's how all three rounds are going to be honest with you. And Jon Jones has very big legs. He has very long legs. That's a nice target.
That would be a it'd be a good way for Jones to get into the heavyweight division to introduce himself back to it. But
it's a bad way. It's not a safe fight whatsoever. Stipe is not even a safe fight for Jon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah, it looks like Shoney's not going to make it tonight, but that's okay because I still love Shoney. So
yes, we'll get him back on it, you know.
Fuck yeah, man. So shall I wrap up the show, good sir?
I think so.
Okay. I will proceed forward. Gabe and Justin, you know, you're going to see them next week. They're off doing their own thing, and we love them, and they'll be back next week, and I can't wait to talk to them and talk to another great guest and talk to everybody out there in homeland, wherever you guys are. Oh, my God, I can't fucking talk tonight. I need to get some fucking sleep. I can't wait to talk to all the great MMA fans across the planet Earth about this great sport. From the Fight Mixer, Matt the producer, me exhausted as fuck. I can't wait to get to bed. Signing off from the Fight Mixer. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is the Fight Mixer. I'll see you next Thursday. Tune into Wednesday's show. Peace!
Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.
Hey, what's up, guys? If you get a chance, tune in on September 9th to the Fight Mixer at 8:30, and yours truly will be interviewing with them. So tune in. Perfect.